Of the four Hogwarts houses, I would never be in Gryffindor. From an early age, I've always been cautious and skittish. On one hand, it's been great. I've never broken a bone, failed a class, or gotten into near-death situations. On the other hand, I get anxious at the thought of changing a dinner reservation and get stuck in the research step for weeks because I'm worried I'll make the wrong decision. Which naturally draws the question, how has it held me back? Welcome to Self-Help Junkie, the podcast where we explore the world of personal development through the eyes of book enthusiasts. I'm your host, Erica Ng, a communication coach and your resident bookworm. This season, we'll be focused on finding purpose, motivation, and inspiration, but before we dive into the conversation with our guest, let's get a one-minute summary of the book. You Can If You Think You Can by Norman Vincent Peale is the OG when it comes to positive thinking self-help books. It was written in 1974, and its principles remain relevant even in our modern era. The power of positive thinking essentially conveys that by maintaining a positive attitude and thinking optimistically, you can shape and transform your reality and attract positive experiences into your life. One way of doing this is replacing negative thoughts with positive ones. For example, instead of debating giving up, believe it's always too early to quit. As for your problems, instead of being upset by them, know that the struggle of solving the problem is what makes you more resilient. And rather than being scared, realize that fear is just a barrier to your success. Don't let it win. Then you have methods of being more positive, being peaceful with your words and thoughts, maintaining a sense of humor, and a strong belief in yourself. Throughout the book, Peale shares stories of individuals who face these challenges, helping readers relate and feel less alone. Additionally, he offers numerous exercises to help readers psychologically navigate through these difficulties. And with that, let's dive in. Today we have on Nadia Krauss from Soul Health Mentor Podcast. She is an avid self-help book lover, so she's going to fit right in here. And she has been reading self-help books since a very young age. And one of the first ones that was handed over to her from her dad was the one that we will be discussing today. But before we dive into all of that, I wanted to ask you, as a fellow podcaster, what made you start your podcast?
Oh, I love that you asked that question. So I knew that I had a message to share from a very young age, in my 20s, mid-20s. And the first thing that came to me was like, I want to write a book, and we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. And I did write the book. And after the book, there was just so many messages that I wanted to share. And writing a book takes time. Mm. It is a commitment. It is a labor of love. And it's not fast. So
not at all.
I was thinking, hey, in a podcast, I can just share the message that's coming through and it'll be doable time-wise. So that was the inspiration.
Very cool. And it sounds like you've been in the field of wellness and health for a while, because earlier in our pre-chat you were saying that your first entrepreneurial journey was also in that field. Can you tell me a little bit more about like what inspired you to be in that field?
Yes. So that actually is a beautiful way to tie in the book we're going to talk about that started the whole self-help journey or mm-hmm. personal development and growth. So at age 11, my dad handed me a book called You Can If You Think You Can mm-hmm. by Norman Vincent Peale. And at age 11, to hear, hey, you can do anything you want to in life, which my dad kept telling me, you can be, have, do anything you want to. He was studying his own path and his own way, studying in the sense reading these books and trying to apply these books. Mm-hmm. So that seed was planted at such a young time in my life that I just started exploring, what do you want to do? Mm-hmm. What is your dream? What is your desire? And at age 24, I had just finished an apprenticeship in Germany, a dressmaking apprenticeship, because mm-hmm. I actually wanted to be a fashion designer. But I also had gotten married at a really young age. So going to Milan or France or Italy, wherever it may be, doesn't go with getting married at a young age. Mm. So I started my own little fitness studio. And this was a group training studio called Fitness for Body and Soul. And I've just always loved dancing and movement. And I feel really alive in my body when I move my body. So that's how I started it, in the sense from a passion place. I love moving my body. And from a requirement place, oh, I need to come up with a different plan.
For sure. What a vibrant transition, like from dressmaking into fitness. I've recently made a resolution for 2024 where I don't want to buy any clothing because I feel like fast fashion, that's something I'm trying to break a habit of. So I am doing that. Yeah. I might have to call you up for some of your dressmaking tips.
Oh, you'll love it. You'll love it. It's so relaxing and it will be a meditation. You will love it.
I am excited. Let's talk a little bit more about your journey with this book. So you were saying that with your dad, you were watching him trying to apply some of the learnings that he found in the books. Can you tell us about his journey as well?
Yes, yes. So my dad and my parents in general, they were older parents. So they had been married before, and this was their second marriage. So my dad was in his 50s when I was a teenager, when I entered teenagehood, that he was in his 50s and he was exploring his spirituality. And he was reading all kinds of self-help books, which are big names now. But I think at the time, that movement was blooming. So I remember the names are Joseph Murphy, Positive Thinking, Catherine Ponder, The Universal Laws of Prosperity. My mom handed me a book. She was more silent about it, but she did it as well. And she handed me a book at age 18, Mind Power by John Kehoe. And so I had all these different books that would promote positive thinking and the law of attraction and the seed, you can be, do, and have anything you want in life. And he would always tell me, you've just got to think the right way. And he would correct me if I'm being negative. He would say things like, okay, but how would you like it to be? Don't think about how you don't want it to be. How would you like it to be? And it was beautiful to be nurtured in that way as a teenager. But you know how teenagers also really watch what's happening? Yeah. So it's not so much what the parents are saying, but it's what the parents are doing. And my 14-year-old self was watching. I was like, okay, you have all these books and you've told me about them and I'm trying to apply them. Right. But why am I always seeing drama in your relationship, money struggles in your relationship? Why are your dreams not coming to fruition? And that took me on the path of going beyond manifestation, beyond the law of attraction. And it took me down a path of self-actualization, actually.
Okay. Yeah, because this is something that I've struggled with. So I live in Bali, a very spiritual place. And there's a lot of people who throw around the word manifesting and positive thinking. And as a realist, I'd like to think of myself as a realist, not like a nihilistic person. But it's hard for me to just be like, okay, if you just think positively, good things will happen to you. Cause it just doesn't make sense. It's not a one-to-one for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested in hearing this next step of self-actualization. Can you tell me more about that?
Yes. I love that you just said that because that is so important. So my dad was very into spirituality, started in his 50s and then carried on in his 60s, 70s. And he died in 2014. And it was very, very, how can I put this? Unfortunately, as he got older, he lost grounding. It got very, very ungrounded. And in the spiritual world, there's this terminology that I don't like, and it's woo-woo. And the reason I don't like woo-woo is because in my experience, woo-woo is like, ooh, it's not grounded. Right. And it wasn't healthy for my dad as he aged. So I'm a really pragmatic person in the sense, if you know anything about astrology, my sign is Taurus rising, and Taurus is an earth sign, and it's very step by step by step. Slow will win the race, right? Steady. I forget the saying in English, but steadiness wins the pace. And it's grounded because this is what I started saying to my dad. I said, Dad, I get all these big ideas. I love them. Like, I love that you teach these big, grand ideas of purpose and evolution, and not just personal, but also of the planet and spiritual awareness and revolution. I love all that. But what good does it do me if I can't ground it into my life? Mm. If I can't bring heaven onto earth, what good is it? It's no good. So that would be our conversation at the end. I would always have to calm him down a bit and said, I'm not saying that what you're saying is not true, but I want to see how this knowledge or this wisdom can be grounded into earthly human life.
Right.
So that's my approach, and that's self-actualizing. So I'm Germany originally, and the word is very common in Germany. So I'm going to say the word. Obviously, it's not going to mean anything to you, but it's Selbstverwirklichung and self-actualize. Mm. But funny enough, the English language has a different nuance. So I never realized that self-actualizing was the same word that I've been using in German. And Germans will use the word around artists and creatives and entrepreneurs. And they would even call those kind of creative people, they have a word for it, and they call them life's artist. Mm. So that gives that word self-actualization a whole another meaning, because it's I'm actualizing my creativity, my spirit. I'm growing my spirit on earth, but in a way where it makes sense as a human, but also as this divine soul that has all this potential.
Right. So from what I'm listening to, as you're saying this, it sounds like you saw what your father was doing, and those were great ideas, but until he could practically take those big ideas and integrate it into his day to day, what's the point of talking clouds and rainbows if you can't actually put it into your life?
Yes. And that part that you just said, we have, so the mental body is the thinking, right? The thinking, but the mental body is also so much. It's, you have monkey mind, you have the conditioned ego, you have past trauma and experiences in your mind. You even have three brains. You have the reptilian brain and the neocortex, that's where consciousness happens, and the emotional brain, all this information stored in your mind. And there's the subconscious and the conscious. Mm. And what was happening is my dad was using his conscious mind to produce all these positive thoughts. But what he was also doing is stuffing down his feelings from a very young age because of trauma, and tucking it away real deep and never thinking about it, because that would not be okay. But that was actually what was manifesting that wounded place, that subconscious was manifesting the life experience as a mirror. So one time I asked him, I said, why don't you allow yourself to just have a good cry?
Right.
Just have a good cry, because he was having a moment. We were actually at a spiritual conference together, and I think it was the energy at that place, and something was coming up, and I could sense it. But he was stuffing it down. And he literally said to me, he said, no, because if I let it out, I won't stop crying. Mm. Which is not true, but that was his thoughts around that.
Right, which speaks to how long he's been keeping it in and how scared of what could come out. As you're talking, we're talking a lot about spirituality. Do you feel like spirituality and purpose kind of go hand in hand?
It's a very personal thing. So it's a very personal truth. And I think what happens in the spiritual growth and development community and the law of attraction and positive thinking, and it's all about bettering your quality of life. But we also have to be really practical and pragmatic about the fact that there's a lot of people out in this world that haven't touched a personal growth book. I used to work as a corporate health coach, because health is my thing, but it's holistic health. But this was this window of time in my life that I was like, I want to do something good in the corporate world. Yeah. And that was a good intention, and that was a purpose of the moment. So it's what I give my life, what gives my life meaning is my purpose. Mm-hmm. So that purpose of that life chapter was, I want to do something great, wonderful, nourishing, nurturing, supportive in a corporate setting. And here we come. It was such a wake-up call. Right. It was such a wake-up call on my part that, oh my gosh, it was a very toxic setting, because this wellness program was promoted in a way to get a discount for your health insurance. And the employees were all disgruntled about it because it was just kind of sprung up on them. And the employer wasn't very diplomatic in how they sprung it upon them. So I had a lot of toxicity. And the reason I'm even sharing this story is I had to give a tobacco cessation class. And I wanted to do it in this positive light of personal growth and development and transformation and giving your life purpose. And I asked the class, how many people in this class have read personal growth and development books? And I had zero.
Wow.
That is the reality. I had zero. And so all I could do was tell my story. Mm-hmm. And I was getting them on board because I was looking for the purpose of the tobacco cessation class. What's the purpose of this class?
Right.
And to do it in a very lighthearted, supportive manner, I was trying to go the route of personal development and purpose. What mm-hmm. is the purpose of this class to you? So to long story, but to answer your question, purpose to me is anything the person gives that situation. Mm. So obviously there's bigger things, and that's where we go into spirituality. We could go into, there's a soul plan, and you have spiritual gifts and you have worldly talents. But for very pragmatic approach and practical, the society at large doesn't talk about these things. Mm-hmm. So I approach it in the way, hey, it's what you give your life. It's the meaning you give your life. It's the meaning you give the situation. That's your purpose. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. For some people, and a lot of people, it's family and relationships.
Right. Right. As you're speaking about that, as a communication coach, that's very often what I start off with. People come in and they're like, I want to present better. I'm like, cool. What's the purpose of your presentation? They're like, I want to give information. I'm like, but what do you want to achieve with that information? And I think that purpose is this word that everybody knows, but maybe you don't always think about what it is in specific circumstances, or even for some people, their lives, because mm-hmm. they've just been chugging along on the society train and they're just mm-hmm. on board, but you haven't really stopped to think, where is this train going? Why am I on this train?
Yes. I love that analogy. Where's this train going? Why am I on this train? Yes, yeah. Exactly.
And back to what you were saying earlier with self-actualization being basically a journey of figuring out what your talents are. How do we take the creativity, the ideas that I have, and make it real? How does one start? Let's say that one of those corporate people that you were working with, they're like, I've been on this train. I have not been thinking about it. Like, I don't know what my talents are. I don't, it's all a bit much right now. Where would you get them started?
Yes. Oh, I love that question. 'Cause that is definitely a challenge. It's a challenge to connect with people in that way that had never heard about it. Mm. And as you already have noticed, my style is telling stories, mm-hmm. right? So I tell a lot of stories. So that's how I would start. I would grab a story that I remember, and it probably would be, hey, my dad, you know, he introduced me to this at age 11. And I would get their inner child on board. Mm-hmm. And I would go, hey, how would your life have been different if one of your caregivers or parents had that message for you? Mm-hmm. What were you thinking of doing at age 11? Because that's often where it's buried.
Yeah.
Because our purpose, our talents are these whispers. And Germans love to use the the translation would be heart swishes, mm-hmm. but it's not something that I hear very often in the English language. I would hear soul desires very, very mm-hmm. often in the English language. Oh, it's my soul desires, especially in that personal growth and development movement and spiritual movement. But in Germany, it's just like, what's your heart swish? Mm-hmm. And you carry it in your heart. And as children, we all were very, very close to our heart's wishes. And so I would start there. And that's also what happened with me writing my book. I started sharing my stories mm-hmm. and I would offer reflection questions at the end of each chapter that help the reader to connect to their heart's wishes and soul desires. And that's how I would do that. So that would be a one-on-one conversation of storytelling, asking questions, and trying to get the person I'm talking to on board. But it often starts with getting the inner child on board, because mm-hmm. the inner child has been conditioned to not dream mm-hmm. and to not think that, hey, I have talents and gifts to share with the world. It's a very different conditioning that happens in society in regard to our gifts and talents.
For sure. Yeah, I think that's something that I can also relate to. At a young age, you have all these hobbies that you love, but as you get older, you're like, gotta adult down. Like, I'm 19 now, I'm going to college. I can't do these childish things anymore. And yeah, just diving back into them can definitely ignite something and realize that at least some of those desires, maybe you don't want to do everything you did as a kid, but mm-hmm. at least you have a place to start to explore yes. what that can look like for you.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, for you, it sounds like your journey has been a bit different from some of us, where we started off being like, I can't do stuff. I should like shut things down. But you were given these very positive messages from a young age. Were there moments in your life where maybe life got too big and you lost sight of some of these ideas?
Absolutely. So it sounds very romantic, right? It sounds
does.
So romantic. Oh my gosh, you know, I learned about the law of attraction
since
at
11.
Age 11. And at 14, I was already questioning my parents and going deeper. But the reality really is that for a very long time, I was perceived as the scattered dreamer, the idealist, the person in Germany, this was the person that jumps from thing to thing to thing. And yeah, you can do that, whatever, but that's not realistic.
Right.
And while my father had this beautiful trait of sharing his spirituality of the moment and his purpose of the moment with me, we already touched base on the fact that there was something deeper mm-hmm. just percolating and festering, and something that really he couldn't touch. He couldn't get to that place of healing. He was a very wounded man that also uprooted his family many, 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 many times, which really messed with my stability, with my steadiness, with my grounding. And yes, I was young. And yes, I started my first business at 24, but I'm now 48. And I've walked and gone a journey that has had so many ups and downs. And honestly, the last 12 years specifically have felt like a underworld journey of traveling into the depths of my psyche and really getting rid of all that shadowy stuff. I've struggled with the consistency of creating an income and not burning out and not having health issues, because running a business at 24, I didn't know who I was fully. I didn't know how hard it is to run a business. So I've had a very colorful life in health, fitness, wellness, consciousness, but it's been employment and then business, employment and business, employment, because I was just trying to make it work. So I've really walked the plank of polarities.
Right.
I've seen the beauty and the ugliness in this whole transformational process.
Right. As you're telling that story, it's reminding me of one of my friends who's, I think, battling with this right now. He has a business that he loves, that he's really passionate about, that he believes in. But then there's also the financial aspects, like there are certain things that just aren't falling into place. And it just feels like an uphill battle. As someone Yes. who's been through that before, like for him, I feel like he's not sure of his purpose because it's so difficult. And maybe 10, 20 years down the line, he could look back and be like, oh yes, I had purpose all along. Like I powered through it. That's what I should have done. But without that hindsight, it's really hard to see. So yes. for you, looking back on your journey and how it kind of mirrors what my friend's going through, like, do you have any advice for him or your past self?
Yes, yes. So he will definitely find a red thread. If he asks himself some questions in the sense of the business that I'm doing right now, is there anything that I can recognize here that was already there as a child? And so I'm going to use myself as an example. So as a child, apparently I did two things. I am at age three, apparently I said, I'm going to be a dancer. So that physical movement that I was mentioning, how alive it makes me feel, my three-year-old self knew that. And my three-year-old self was going, I'm going to be a dancer. And at age 10, and my dad was really proud of this one, but he kind of misinterpreted it because that can happen as well. So at age 10, apparently I walked around and said, I'm going to be a healer. And then he was like, oh, my daughter is going into medicine, which is not at all what that means. So I was encouraged to take Latin, which I hated. I hated it. And I did really badly in it because I really didn't like it.
Right.
And the healing part is what I do now. So now I call myself a soul health mentor because I've learned that we have physical health, emotional health, mental health, spiritual health, and then there's the soul potential, right? And for your friend, it sounds like there's a healing that wants to happen. A healing of finances, obviously, but also a healing of self. So what can happen in business? Sometimes we're on point all along. Like I was on point with fitness for body and soul because I had the movement, I had the healing, but I didn't know how to make it work. That's that earthly thing, right? I'm 24. I don't know everything. I burnt myself out. But sometimes what can also happen is we create a business or a career that is not in alignment with what our inner child knew. So the corporate health coaching was an excerpt that taught me through contrast, but there was no aliveness. There was a lot of toxicity and there was no healing. That's a bit harsh. I do think I had a healing presence, but it wasn't healing and nourishing for me.
Right.
So I suffered. The people benefited, but I suffered greatly.
Right.
So I would invite your friend to look at things in the sense, what did my inner child know? What did my teenage self want to do? And does my business reflect that? And then there are some real pragmatic advice. So I've built a lot of Soul Health Mentor podcast and company. Company is all the entrepreneurial things, the services that I'm putting out there. I've done it part-time. I've worked, and I work in the fitness field, and I love it. It's health, wellness, fitness. But I'm building my Soul Health Mentor and company on the side because that's what my nervous system needs. If I go into building this passion project of a business with, oh my gosh, how am I going to survive? How am I going to pay my bills? I don't make any money, and I'm really stressed.
Right. I can imagine it being very stressful to focus all your energy on one thing, especially when you said earlier that as a child, you kind of like flitted from one thing to the next. And like, that's what you get excited about. And then having to be like, this is my entire life. This is all I can focus on because I need to make it work would be very soul sucking.
Yes.
Yeah. Very interesting. And then back to the book. So earlier you said that a lot of what you, when you're helping other people, often you use narratives. And I think mm-hmm. that really closely reflects what the book is, because it's mm-hmm. basically a collection of a bunch of different stories that either he personally has experienced or that he's collected. And it kind of serves as inspiration. Did you have any, either today or like throughout your life, any mm-hmm. stories that really stuck out to you that you were like, this really helped me through some times?
Yes. I have so many stories. That's why I created the podcast, because I share so many stories. So watching my dad try to find his path with positive thinking and law of attraction. In the first book I got, You Can If You Think You Can, I was a really good student. I did all the exercises in the book. Mm-hmm. And one of the exercises was write out your desire 10 times. It's a lot. 10 times a day, 3 times a day. It was good for me because I'm a writer. So I love writing. I love journaling. But it's not going to be good for someone to do that tip if that's just not how they're wired.
Right.
So I'm watching my dad. I'm doing my little exercises. I'm a really good student. I'm reading many books after that. But I'm noticing a disconnect. And we already touched base. And this disconnect was just, why is the law of attraction not working? Mm-hmm. Why are all these horrible things happening to people all the time? Mm-hmm. Why is this manifesting? Why? And I collected these stories internally, like these questions and these stories. And it was a long time. I knew I was going to write a book about this. I was going to share these stories that I'm collecting. My first book coaching was in 2007. That's also the nature of heart's wishes and soul desires. It was a heart's wish to write my book. It was my soul whispering, tell your stories. And I did this book coaching. It was really great. And we came up with the name. So the name was born in 2007, and it was born in German, and the translation in English is The Magic of Transformation. And it just was like, ooh, it just really got me. I like, oh, yes. There was such an enchantment around that topic. And the book coach said, I'm sensing this number 18. Like there's 18 steps to the magic of transformation. And I'm like, ooh, interesting. Okay. Just sit with it. And then I left this weekend. It was an intensive. And she said, we had the name, we had the subtitle. It was a working title. And we had the introduction. And she said, now you sit with your book. And everything that happens in your life from here on out will be content for your book. Mm. And she wasn't kidding. And this is what's so crazy. And this is also something about heart's wishes and soul desires. So I always talk about a dream that your soul holds for you, because that's your potential. And in the space of your soul, there is no time, because your soul is eternal. And the soul is patient. That is really what love is kind means. Love is patient. Your soul is kind and patient. I literally collected this content for 18 years.
What?
Now I can reflect back and I'm like, oh my gosh, now my book exists. The magic of transformation, igniting and manifesting soul desires. But I tell stories that are 18 years, like an 18-year lifespan. And the amazing thing is that I was able to do it in a 100-page book. So it's not like a big whopper. It is 11 stories that I share, and that answers your question. These are all important to me, so I'm not going to go into them. And then I have reflective questions for the reader so they can connect to the story in their story. Because it's all about heart's wishes, soul desires. Right. It's about my parents and the wounding that I watched. It's so many different kinds of stories.
Right. And I guess it's very helpful for people to see it in other people, the challenges that they go through, so you can believe that you can apply it and that it is doable. It's not these superheroes where it's an easy journey. It is bumps along the way.
Yeah.
That's very beautiful. Well, we're coming to the end of our episode today. It was such a pleasure having you on. If people are interested in finding you or finding your book, where can they find you?
Yes. The easiest place to find me is at nadiakraus.com. And it's Nadia, N-A-D-I-A. Kraus is K-R-A-U-S-S.com. And then they'll see everything right at the top. Like I have a tab for the book. I have a tab for the podcast. Okay. That's the easiest place.
Amazing. So I'll definitely link it in the show description, so it's really easy for people to find you. But thank you so much for your time and sharing your story, your advice, and your very soothing voice.
Thank you so much for having me. And it was such a pleasure and delight. It's so wonderful to talk to you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. This podcast was brought to you by me, Erica Ng, and my sound guy, Stevie, who's the reason there was a huge upgrade in the quality between episode 4 and 5 of season 1. If you enjoyed, please send this episode to a friend who could use the advice or someone who would find this a great listen. If you have thoughts or tips you'd like to share, please do at Self Help Junkie Pod on Instagram, Twitter, or Gmail. I'll see you guys next time.